Good evening, everybody. So this week's parsha, we're still talking about the Shvatim and how they went to bury Yaakov Avinu. So the Psukim tell us a very interesting line that the brothers tell Yosef HaTzadik on their way back from burying Yaakov Avinu, which from here we learn a important halacha l'maisa, and that's what I want to discuss tonight. The Gemara says in Yevamos Daf Samach Hamed Beis, Amar Abilah Mishumer Belazer Rab Shimon Mutter Lo LaAdam L'Shanos B'Dvar HaShalom. The Gemara says one is allowed to bend the truth a little bit. L'Shanos just means to sway a little bit from the absolute MS in order to bring about more peace, to bring about more Shalom between two people. Shanemar, where do we know such a source? How do we know such a halacha actually exists? Says the Gemara, we learn it from this week's Parsha, because what does it say? Avichat Tziva Lefnei Moso Lemar, because the brothers tell Yosef HaTzadik, your father, our father Yaakov Avinu, gave it tzava before he passed away. I want you to forgive the brothers for everything they've done. And really, the whole thing was made up. Yaakov Avinu never said such a thing, just the brothers were now concerned that now that Yaakov Avinu's dead, and Yosef HaTzadik no longer has his father to worry about, so now they thought he's going to take revenge on them for what they did wrong. So the Gemara says that from here you see the brothers made up an absolute story, something that never actually happened. So from here, says the Gemara, it says, Mutter L'Shanos V'Pnei HaShalom, because they wanted to bring about more peace and more harmony between all the different brothers, between themselves and Yosef HaTzadik. Then, says the Gemara, Reb Nosson Omer, Reb Nosson brings a Raya, no, not only Mutter, not only do we assume that one is allowed to bend the truth a little bit in order to bring about more Shalom, but says the Gemara, Mitzvah, it's even a Mitzvah to be Mishanah V'Pnei HaShalom, because it's very important objective to always ensure that there's more shalom in the world. And then the Gemara ends off and it says, Dever Bishmal Tana, Gadol HaShalom, the Gemara says that shalom is considered such an important virtue in the world, She'af HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shina Bo, that even HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, so to speak, HaVayachal HaKadosh Baruch Hu bent a little bit from the absolute truth. Why? Dimei Karak Siv, by the story of Sarah and Avram Avinu. So the Malachim come to tell them that they're going to have a child. Sarah says, how can we have a child? Vadoniza Kain, my husband's an old man already. He can't have children anymore. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu changes it a little bit because he didn't want Avraham Avinu to know that Sarah was saying something a little bit derogatory about him. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed it, and the Gemara says that that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Vaaniza Kanti, that Sarah was saying about herself, how can I have a child if I'm old? So from here, says the Gemara, you see that Hashem himself considers Shalom to be such an important virtue that even he, Kavi Yachal, is willing to be Mishana the Emes a little bit in order to bring about a little more Shalom between two people. Yeah.
Rabbi, you said a little bit five times.
So 1 second. So that's a very good point. We'll get to that point in a second. What does it mean, Lashanos? How much are you allowed to bend? So we'll get to that in a second. Similarly, we have a Gemara in Ksubas Daf Yud Zayin. The Gemara has a Machlokis Beisham and Beisilo. Says the Gemara, Ketzav Naraktim Lifnei Akala. Famous Gemara. How are we supposed to dance in front of a Chasen and Kala? What are we supposed to do when we're at a chasana? So if you're at a chasana with two people that are wonderful people, two people that are very good looking, so you say, okay, everyone's beautiful, everyone's wonderful, but that's not what the Gemara is asking. What do you do, says the Gemara, come to a chasana of a chigeris, of a suma, of a woman who is actually not so beautiful looking, of a woman who doesn't have legs or a woman who doesn't have arms. So what do you tell the chasana when you come to such a wedding? Says, Veshama Yikov Adina Sahar, say it like it is. Tell him, well, very nice you're getting married, but I'm sorry you fell in. Says the Gemara, that's what Veshama says, that's what you're supposed to say. Basila says, no, absolutely not. What you're supposed to say is, Kala Nava Chasuda. Basila says, no, under all circumstances, you always should praise the Kala in front of the Chasam, because he obviously feels that she's attractive. He obviously feels that there's a reason why the Shidduch is going through, and it doesn't matter that you happen to find some sort of fault. Just say, be Mishana a little bit. Says, Beishamai, how can you be Mishana? Ah, Shtet Midbar Sheker Tirchak. Beishamai asked the Kasha to Basila, how are you allowed to lie? So the Gemara there gives an answer. Beis Hillel says, no, whatever, you give an answer anyway. This is what you should do. Says the Ritva, what's the Heter? The Ritva explains, it's based on this Gemara in Ksubas Daf Samachay, that Mutter L'Shanos V'Pnei HaShalom. Over here, you're trying to make Shalom Bayis between the Chasan and Kala. You're trying to make sure that their marriage gets off to a right start. So you're even allowed to bend the truth a little bit, and you're allowed to say, well, even though you think your wife is, I mean, in my opinion, your wife might not be so beautiful, but I want you to know she's beautiful, she's wonderful, you should go ahead with the Shidduch anyway. That's what the Ritva explains in that Gemara. So how much are we allowed to bend from the truth? What does it actually mean? So if you read the Gemara just says, L'shanos, which means, some Achronim say that means, the simple understanding is, you say something that has two ways of understanding it. Let's say you say, Kalana v'chasuda. Well, depends who you ask. Some people might think, you know, that this woman is beautiful compared to somebody else who's a lot less attractive. Okay, so you say something which has two apparent meanings, And just because this person thinks you meant X, really you meant Y. Okay, so if I just read the Gemara and I would stop there, that's what I would assume is the halacha. However, Zakta Chafetz Chaim, when he talks about Hilchos Rechilos, he says, Beferish, he extends the Gemara and he says, not only is a person allowed to be Mishanim Ipnei Shalom, a person is even allowed to be Mishaker, Sheker, Gomer, says the Chafetz Chaim, in order to bring about more Shalom. Zakta Chafetz Chaim, where do we get such an idea from? The Gemara doesn't say that. Gemara doesn't say such a thing. Zakta Chavetz Chaim, where you get it from, is Aaron HaKoyin. It says Aaron HaKoyin was the Oiv Shalom V'Rodiv Shalom. Zakta Avos D'Rav Nosson, what does it mean? What did he do? So the famous Rashi on Chumash says, what did he do? When two people had a fight, when a husband and a wife had a machlokes, he went to the husband, he made up a whole Baba Maisa, he told him, by the way, your wife feels so bad. He made up a whole story. He went to the other side, he made up the same story backwards. So you had outright lies. Aaron HaKoyin was making up outright lies, yet he goes down in history as the Oiv Shalom V'Rodiv Shalom. What do you mean? You're willing to bring about Shalom at the expense of lying, at the expense of over on Midrash Sheket Tircha. How can you do such a thing? Aaron shouldn't be a tzaddik. Aaron's the biggest liar in the history of Klal Yisrael. How can you say such a thing? So the answer is, Dr. Chavetz Chaim, that is permissible. Not only does the Gemara mean that it's mutter l'shanos, but the Chavetz Chaim says it's mutter even to be meshaker, sheker, gummer, if you think that it will bring about more Shalom in the world. So some Acharonim even explain when the Pasuk says, tzedek, tzedek, tirdof. So what does it mean? It should say, tzedek, tzedek, tase. You should do the right thing. What do you mean, tirdof? You should run after it. No, so some Acharonim explain what it means is, you should run after it even if it means that sometimes you're going to have to do something which seems wrong. Sometimes you're going to have to do something, you're going to have to make up a lie, you're going to have to make up a story in order to bring about tzedek, in order to bring about shalom in the world. So how can you do such a thing? Why doesn't it say, tzedek, tzedek, tase? The answer is because you have to be rodif after it. You have to run after it, and sometimes it means being very creative to bring about tzedek and shalom. Sometimes you have to do things that you otherwise would not have done. And some Acharonim explain also that that's what it means. The Pasuk says, Midvar Sheker Tirchak, Menaki Vitzadik Al Tarek. What's the beginning of the Pasuk connected to the end of the Pasuk? It says, don't tell a lie, and don't kill an innocent person. So what does that mean? So some of Farshim Al Chumash explain what it means is, Midvar Sheker Tirchak, yeah, the overarching principle always is, don't say a lie. However, Naki Vitzadik Al Tarek, if by not saying a lie, you're going to kill an innocent person, meaning someone's going to get into big trouble, or a wife is going to be angry at her husband for no good reason. He's innocent. The wife just thinks that the husband did something wrong. Meanwhile, if you make up a story or you say something differently, maybe she'll change her opinion about her husband, maybe the husband will change his opinion about his wife. There, say the Mefarshim, Naki Vitzadik Al Tarek is greater. That trumps the beginning of the Pasuk of Midvar Sheker Tirchak. If you're trying to bring about a result, more shalom, of more love between two people, so then you're allowed to be Mishana from the absolute emes. This comes up halacha lemaisa when you have, unfortunately, a chasana sometimes, where you have a girl who gets married, and unfortunately she's not a basula. So sometimes you have that situation. Let's say very often it happens now on college campuses, unfortunately, people make mistakes, and they do things wrong, and then you come to the chasana, and you have to fill out a ksuba. So what do you write? In the ksuba we generally write, basulta da. And the nafkamina la halacha is if she's a basula, she gets 200. If she's a ba'ula, she only gets 100. So, Rav Moshe writes in a tshuva, if the husband is kibul alei, he says, look, I'm willing to marry her anyway. I understand she made mistakes in the past, but now I'm marrying her. So kibul alei, so he's mechayiv himself 200 zuz, and it's not a problem. However, how do you write in the ksuba basulta da? How do you have a right to lie? You're saying an outright lie, you read it onto the chuppah, and you say something which is absolutely not true about this girl. So the Marsham writes in a tshuva, the answer is, Mutu l'shanos v'nei shalom. You want everybody at the chasna has to know that this woman did something wrong in her life. It's not important for everyone to know that. She moved on, now she's marrying a nice boy and everything's going to be fine. There's no reason to address this in public. There's no reason to make an announcement that everybody should know. She's going to be embarrassed, he's going to be embarrassed. So you know what? As long as he's kibul alei, Zakar Moshe, as long as he takes upon himself, that even though she may not be a basula, he's still willing to pay 200 zuz anyway. So then you can still write, Basultada, even though it might not be true, because the Marsham says, Gadol HaShalom, and we don't want her to be embarrassed or him to be embarrassed. So now, what about being Meshaker for other reasons? All we know from the Gemara is you're allowed to be Meshaker Mipnei HaShalom in order to bring about more peace, more harmony in the world. However, the Gemara does have another sugim, but Metzia Daf Chav Gimel, where we're told that there are three things that a Talmud Chacham is allowed to lie about. And that says the Gemara, when we're talking about not Mipnei HaShalom, the Gemara there is not describing a situation where more peace is going to be brought about by this story that the Talmud Chacham is saying. Rather, it's Mishum Tznius, and because of my own personal dignity, because of my own kavod. Says the Gemara, what does it mean? That three things the Chazal allowed the Talmud Chacham to lie about, and those are Mesechta, Puria, and Ushpiza. What does that mean? Mesechta means, somebody comes to me and he says, oh, you're holding an Olav Shas, right? So I'm not a good example. Let's say somebody comes to Rabbi Feiner, he says, you're holding an Olav Mesechtas. So I have a kasha for you. Nu, can I ask you a kasha in Ksubas Daf Tzadi Zayin? So he has a right to say, no, I haven't learned it recently, I'm not holding. We all know that he is holding. So by me, it wouldn't be a lie. I say, I don't know, I never learned the Gemara. By him, Itaka would be a lie. But the Gemara says, you're allowed to. Why? Mishum Tznius, because it's not right to go and parade around to everybody and say, look what a great Talmud Chacham I am. You can ask me a kasha anywhere, right away I'm holding. So therefore, says the Gemara, b'mesechta, Talmud Chacham is allowed to be Mishanah also.
So
says the Gemara. How did what? So you have to know. Each circumstance. But the Gemara says also Bipuria. Rashi and Tosaf have machlokes is what it means. But the pashtus is somebody comes along and asks you a very personal question about your own life. Is your wife a nida? You ask a personal question that's none of his business. So says the Gemara. Mishum tznius, the Talmud Chacham is allowed to say. You know, he's allowed to lie about it. And third, mishum mushpiza. Let's say somebody puts up a Talmud Chacham in his house and he gives him. Okay, let's say someone's pushing you. Or he has, whatever it is. Because these three things, you're allowed to lie, and it's not Mishim HaShalom. It's not because it's going to bring about more peace in the world. Whether I answer the person's question in the middle of Ksuvas Daf Tzadi Zayin, that's not going to bring about more peace in the world, but I'm allowed to lie, Mishim Tznius. And says Rav Moshe, he extends it, and he says, well, if Mishim Kavod Atzmo, if because of my own Kavod I'm allowed to lie, then for sure Mishim Kavod HaKadosh Baruch I'm allowed to lie. Says, take for example, I go somewhere, and the Kaf HaChaim has this example. I go somewhere, and a person gives me a cup of wine, and I think it might be Stam Yenim. I'm not sure if he was careful with the babysitter. Not sure if he was careful to have Nachrim stay away from his wine. Might be Stam Yenim. I don't want to embarrass him and say, I don't trust your kashrus. I don't want to embarrass him and say, oh, I don't hold to that hashkacha, so what am I supposed to say? I think he gives me a cup of wine, and I think it might be Shviyas. He's not makbid on the same standards of Shviyas, Heter Mechira, I don't rely on it. So what am I supposed to do? So the Kaf HaChaim says, one is allowed to get up and say, I'm fasting today. I'm fasting, or I don't feel well, I'm not drinking anything, I'm on a diet, I can't have any drinks. Zakta Kaf HaChaim, it's not Mepnei HaShalom, it's not bringing about any peace, but Mishum, what? Okay, you're asking, you have to know each case by itself, but the Kaf HaChaim says, you're allowed to say something, even just Mishum, Kavod Atzmo, or the Magen Avram even says, let's say you have, for Kavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zakta Magen Avram, let's say, for example, I know the halacha is, this thing is usser. If I get up and I say it, nobody's going to believe me. You say, what do you mean? How do you make up stories? So I'm allowed to say, yeah, Rav Shlomo Zalman once told me that it's usser. Says the Magen Avram, why am I allowed to do that? Rav Shlomo Zalman never told me that. Zak the Magen Avram, because if I know that that's going to get people to keep the din, once they hear, oh, Rav Shlomo Zalman told me this, meaning, if I'm just making up stories, that it's usser. But if I know that that's the halacha, and I just feel that people won't take it because I don't know the source, so I'm allowed to say, yeah, Rav Moshe told me this, Rav Shlomo Zalman said that. The Magen Avraham says that if Mishum Kavod Atzmo, it's Mutter. So then for sure, for Kavod HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that would also be permissible. Now, the Shulchan Aruch talks about, Tavkuf Samachay, the Mechaber in Hilchos Tainus, talks about a person who takes upon himself to fast. Let's say he's a big tzaddik, he fasts on Bahab, or he fasts different times in the year, not on the Tanesim that are set down, not on the Tanis Tiber. So it says the Gemara HaMesanet, somebody who takes upon himself to fast because of tshuva for aveiros or something like that. And he goes around telling everyone, oh, look, I'm a big tzaddik, I fast hanesim, I do bahab, I do all these things. You're going to be punished for that. You don't get schar. Because if you go around and you take upon a midas chasidus and you just go around doing it just to show off to everybody what a big tzaddik you are, so says the mechaber, you're going to be punished. Similarly, the Rama writes in Yeridei, Hilchos Tzedakah, Hamispar b'tzedakah shu nosei. Let's say I go around and I tell everybody how much money I give to tzedakah. Look how philanthropic I am. Look how much money I am. Such an altruistic type of personality. Amazing. Says the Rama, lo dai shein mekabel schar. Not only will I not get schar for giving that tzedakah, ela afilu ma'anishim oso aleha. I'm even going to be punished. So says the Taz. So what happens? Somebody comes to me and says, did you give money for the school dinner? So, if it's the executive director, I have to give an honest answer. But if it's somebody else, he's just being nosy. So, it's not Mivnah Shalom. It's not going to bring about any more Shalom. So says the Taz, I'm allowed to lie and say, yeah, I gave a donation. I gave $50,000 donation, but it's none of his business. He doesn't have to know. Says the Taz, if you're trying to hide your Maisa Tzidkis from other people, that's another reason for a person to be Mishana Mipnei Maisa Tzidkis. It's not Shalom, but it's more, I don't need everybody knowing. And he brings a raya to this. The Gemara says a very interesting story in Ksubas Daf Ayin Zayin. It's very hard to understand exactly what it means. But the Gemara says that Rabbi Shuvan Levi once was brought on a trip, on a tour of Gan Eden, while he was alive. So the Gemara says the Malach HaMavis took him upstairs to show him what's going on, and he comes there, And he sees there Reb Shimon Chai sitting on a big throne with 13 layers of gold, whatever it might be. And Reb Shimon Chai says, "You're the famous Rabbi Shua ben Levi? Oh, the one who everybody talks about." He starts saying, "Oh, you're the famous." And he says, "No, it's not me." So whatever, you know, he deflected it. He said, "No, it's not real. I'm not such a tzaddik." So Zakta Taz, you see from there, that if a person wants to be Mishana in order to hide their tzidkis, even in the Olam HaEmes, Zakta Taz, even in the Olam HaEmes, even you're in Alma Dekshot, you're in the Olam HaEmes, and still you're saying a lie. How is Rabbi Shimon Levi allowed to lie up there? Everything is emistic up there. He says, no, but if he's trying to hide his own tzidkis, so then, that's another reason. Just to, with all this in mind, it's important to point out the following, that the Achronim prove from a Gemara in Yevamah Samach Beis, we won't get into the Gemara now, but the Shalah and the Archas Tzadikim all write that even though, I'll read you the Lashon of the Archas Tzadikim, v'chal elu shehitiru chacham l'shanos, even though there are situations, as we said, where Chazal allow a person to be mishana a little bit, however, if there is a way to get around it without having to do that, who tov yosem imashi yishakar, it's better than having to lie. So he says, for example, kugonim shalom lo yodea ata masechta plonas, they ask you, do you know masechta ksubas? So you say, instead of lying and saying, oh, I never learned it, you should say, what, you think I know ksubas? So you should laugh it off. Zakta archa sadikim, the best thing to do is to laugh it off in a way which the person might not completely understand exactly what you mean. Just to close, there's a fascinating story that I saw on the Sefer Derech Sicha by Rav Chaim Kanievsky, where he says a very interesting thing. He says the Chafetz Chaim one time did a business deal with his Sfarim, and he made a lot of money, and he came to the yeshiva in Radin that night, and he went to one of his very close Talmidim, one of the Talmidim that he trusted very much. He said to him, please, take all my money, I expect to get it back from you, but right now I don't want to have the money. So the Talmud said, why? He says, because every day people come to me asking for money, I don't want to give this money away. So if I have money in my pocket, so I have to give it to them. I can't say I don't have money. But now that I'm giving all to you, the Chafetz Chaim said, I can honestly tell them, I don't have any money. So that's what the Reb Chaim Kanievsky quotes us from the Chafetz Chaim. And then he says that his father, the stipler, commented on the story that was for the Chafetz Chaim, who was such a great tzaddik. The Chafetz Chaim lived in his own kind of mahalach of tzidkis. But the stipler said, I feel that was not necessary. If an ani comes to you, and you feel that you don't want to give him money, you can say, I don't have money. Why? Are you lying to him? So the stipler said, because obviously what you mean is, I don't have money for you. I have money, I'm not living on the streets, I'm not homeless. So the stipler felt there's no reason to go and do tachabulos like the Chafetz Chaim did. That's for a big tzaddik like the Chafetz Chaim. But he said, for the rest of us, we can just say, I don't have money, and that's good enough, that's sufficient. Ah, you do have money, ah, you have your wallet. It's good enough to say, I don't have money, because what you mean is, I don't have money for you. And similarly, Shlomo Zalman writes, interestingly enough, he says, let's say it happens all the time, and they talk about it, how you should be careful, but a person comes to the door, I just sat down to eat dinner. So my kids go and answer the door, they say, oh, my father's not home. I remember, you know, Rabbi Willie told us the story that his son used to always say, oh, my father's not home. So sometimes they come, they ask in Yiddish, nu, is the tata, is the tata home? So his young son didn't know exactly how to speak Yiddish, so he said, my tata is Nishkenhuizen. So Rabbi Willick said, you got to be careful, you know, how you train your children, what exactly they're going to say. It might not be such a good idea to tell them to say that anyway, because sometimes they make a mistake and say the wrong thing. But Lamaisa, Shlomo Zalman felt, he told his own children, Shlomo Zalman said, when someone comes to the door and I'm preparing a shiur, tell him I'm not home. So the children asked him, what do you mean, tell him I'm not home, you are home? He said, no, because Mutil Lashanas Bnei HaShalom. You're going to tell them he's home, he just doesn't have time for you? So they're going to think, what do you mean? And if someone else came, he would have time. You're going to tell him he's preparing a shir. What do you mean? But my issue is more important than a shir. So he said he thought that it would bring about more shalom if you tell people he's not home. So what are they going to say? Shlomo Zalman didn't have a cell phone. So what are you going to say? He's not home. He's not home. What can he do? But if you tell him he's home, he just doesn't have time for you. That's going to make someone feel bad. So Shlomo Zalman told, he advised his own children that when someone comes to my house and I'm busy doing something, I'm taking a nap, or I'm preparing a shir, you should tell him I'm not home. This way it will make that nobody should feel bad at all. So these are interesting... So that's an important problem, because the Gemara does say in Yevamah Samach Beis that one of the Amoraim was upset that his child was lying all the time. That, again, the Gemara says a story, I think, about Rav. The Gemara says that the wife used to be mitzar him a lot. Every time he asked for this kind of soup, she would make him the other soup. Every time he asked for chicken, she made him meat. So the son decided to always switch the order on him. And when the father found out, he said, what do you mean? Limdu l'shonam d'var sheker, you're teaching your children to be mishaker. So that's a factor that we have to take seriously. Obviously, Rav Shlomo Zalman knew that he was dealing with his children who were big tzaddikim. Every parent obviously has to figure out on their own exactly what to do. But all this is really based on our parsha from the brothers who tell Yosef that Avichatziva, they made up a story that our father actually gave a tzava at the end of his life to say X, Y, and Z, and meanwhile the whole thing was really not based in reality at all.